Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I can't tell you, honey, how many people I've heard say, well, I can't do anything about my situation. It's just my lot in life. Well, when they say that, I want to say, are you listening to yourself? Do you understand the words you're sowing into your future? When someone says, it's just my lot in life, it's either a statement of resignation or self-pity. An excuse, it really is an excuse for why a person is where they are. Saying your current situation is just your lot in life is designed to gain sympathy or express frustration. But regardless of either one, it's fodder for the demon hordes to run wild in your life. I've heard well-meaning, God-fearing Christians use this expression as a self-justification as to why they're not doing better in life. Saying something is just your lot in life is a justification for, well, for limitation and ineffective stewardship. People who seek this free pass from effective stewardship often cite Psalm 16 verses 5 and 6 as a scriptural basis for their lot in life of staying where they are.
In Psalm 16 verses 5 and 6, it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. According to the dictionary.com, the 21st century meaning of the word maintain is to keep in existence or continuance, preserve, retain. Literally, it means to hang on to what you've got. In examining Strong's Concordance, you'll find that the Hebrew word in Psalm maintainest is H8551, and it has a quite different meaning. It means to grasp, support, attain, lay hold of, to be held or to be seized. So I think it's clear that, honey, to grasp, attain, seize gives a different impression of the word.
Yes, it does.
So let's go a little further. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for lot is H1486, and it means lot, portion, recompense, retribution. We've discovered that people tend to focus on the last part of that verse and not the first part, which says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. If we are maintaining, it's our inheritance from the Lord that we're maintaining, and it is most certainly unrestricted. Here's the New Living Translation of Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Honey, does that sound like limitation to you?
No, it doesn't, baby.
Of course not.
You know, and just for the record, your lot in life is not to live in an overcrowded housing complex or where you have to duck every time a car drives by. Listen carefully once again to Psalm 16, 5 and 6, this time in the Message Bible.
It says, my choice is you, God, first and only, and now I find I'm your choice. You set me up with a house and yard, and then you made me your heir.
Interestingly enough, the word choice appears in the King James Version of the Bible a total of 23 times. In 12 of those verses, the word choice is the Hebrew word H4005, and it means choices best.
How?
If having the option of choosing the best in life, why in the world would we settle for less than the best, or what we perceive to be our lot?
Especially in a negative view. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 in the Classic Amplified says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love. Does that sound like God wants us to settle for less than his best as our lot in life?
Nope, done.
Yeah, absolutely not. In 1 Corinthians 8:9 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "Only be careful that this power of choice, this permission and liberty to do as you please, which is yours, does not somehow become a hindrance, cause of stumbling to the weak, and an over-scrupulous, giving them an impulse to sin." So our options are really clear, as in almost crystal clear.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 11:26 in the New Living Translation says, "Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse."
Clearly, the choice is ours. Growing up, our parents made choices for us. There comes a point in time, if you will, an age of accountability, where we become responsible for the choices we make, either good or bad. Truthfully, there are also life or death decisions.
In Deuteronomy 30:11 in the New Living Translation, "The choice of life or death. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand, and it is not beyond your reach." Our choices are all predicated on our obedience. Let me put it this way. They are predicated on our obedience to the word of God.
Yes.
That's where our choices be good or bad. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, "The Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul."
You know, honey, Proverbs 2:11, in the New Living Translation says, "Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe."
You know, honey, another thing, too, is, and I've heard this Bible described this way by many people, really, it's actually our manufacturer's handbook.
That's right.
If we are reading it and looking for answers on how things work in our lives, we'll find them.
Yep.
And the first one is always put God first.
Absolutely.
In Proverbs 3, starting in verse 4 through 6 in the Living Bible, says, "If you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success."
That's a great scripture, great scripture.
It is.
You know, that scripture, honey, says God will direct you and crown your efforts with success.
That's right. Psalm 90, verse 17 in the New Living Translation. "And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful." Yes, make our efforts successful.
I love it. Mm-hmm. When we put God first, never doubting his word or his promises, he will show his approval of our faithfulness by making our efforts, the things we put our hands to, successful. God not only wants to be first, but like the song says, he wants to be our first, our last, our everything.
Did I tell you that you're funny? Okay. Exodus 20:3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." If money becomes so important that it messes up our priorities, then it's a god. It can cause a person to ignore not only the true God, but family, friends, and other things that offer true values.
I think it's important for people to understand that you said money can.
That's right.
Cause us to ignore what should be our first love. You didn't say it will.
That's right.
You didn't say it will cause misplaced priorities. The choice is clearly ours, based on our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. We will either seek him or the idols of this world.
Amen.
Many seek money or other idols in search of what's missing in their lives, that which can only be satisfied by a personal relationship with the Lord. Once they find God, their priorities are most usually straightened out. Personal relationships are sacrificed when people worship money. It's sad, indeed tragic, to say this, but we've aborted babies because of money. We've placed children in care of strangers because of money and the things it buys.
Wow, gives you a lot to think about. Psalm 115 verse 4 says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. There is still much truth in that scripture that applies to people today. When money becomes an idol, we can tell you that God is grieved about it, because he knows too well the lasting consequence it can cause to everybody involved.
You know, honey, I just finished reading all 119 verses in the King James Bible that deal with idols. I can tell you without equivocation that any idol that replaces our Heavenly Father is like making a death wish.
Wow. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Bottom line, God needs to be first. If for no other reason than the fact that he chose you first. I love this. In John 15 verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. When the scripture says that we're to bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain, does that sound like he wants us to accept our lot in life as being something negative? Hardly. This is especially true when we consider the last part of the verse that says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
So if our Heavenly Father is willing to give us whatever we ask him for, doesn't that sound like he wants us making right choices? Now, here's the really great news. Honey, when we are productive for the kingdom, God will give us whatever we ask of him. What an offer. You know, you'd have to be sure. Well, you'd have to be a hamburger short of a Happy Meal not to be making right choices.
It's a clear decision, really, between good and bad.
God has given us choices, and he's chosen us to be different from other people so we can make right choices.
Amen. And, you know, if we realized how much it made the enemy jump with glee when we made wrong choices, we would never make
another
wrong
choice. That's exactly right. Or how it grieves the heart of God when we do.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, if you've been blessed with the teaching, go to heraldherring.com at the top where it says,
sow a seed.
Just ask God
what you would do, and that's all we ever ask.
That's exactly right. Make sure you check out this week's two-minute video.
We hope you truly enjoyed the last, 14 days of two chairs.
Yep.
And that you put it to work this morning, or are going to after you listen to this.
Absolutely.
So God is good.
Yes, he is all the time. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.